Howdy, friends, and welcome to The Story Field. This is a podcast where we talk about business, faith, and life in general.
Okay, so here's the deal. We want you to be encouraged. We want you living in hope. This life we live is complex. It's hard at times. At The Story Field, you will find great stories of normal people just like us who will inspire you. Our goal is that you leave encouraged, inspired, and excited to move forward in life. But before we get started, one thing though, if you're listening and you find yourself really hopeless right now, send us an email at hope@thestoryfield.com so we can pray for you. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Hey, Story Field, we are back with Dr. Ben Edwards. Ben, the first episode was just super rich, and I just love the story of it. And I've listened to a lot of your content, I heard a lot of your episodes, and we're a new member on your new website, which is, tell us again.
VeritasWellnessMember.com.
Okay. And there's a cool way you can do a lot of learning, blood work, get with one of your navigators, Zoom calls, content stuff. So it was really sweet to hear the first part of like how you got to the point, and we could have spent 3 more hours talking about it, but I need to move on. So Dr. Ben, for those who are just tuning into this one, is a medical doctor, and he's the founder of Veritas Medical, and it has 3 clinics. One in Lubbock, Abilene, and San Angelo, and they offer alternative integrative medical options to treat, and or manage symptoms. But we talked in the last episode about, you could tune into his, and we talked a lot about this too, but you can tune into his podcast called You're the Cure on Apple Podcasts, also on YouTube through the Veritas Medical channel. And the big idea being like, we have treated and managed symptoms under the current medical system, and ultimately has led to us having the worst health outcomes in the world. But you have to tune into the previous episode to hear a story about what the Lord was doing to show him there's a different way, and seeing major things like type 2 diabetes get reversed, and just seeing a lot of things. So, but go back and check out that episode. It was really, really, really rich and amazing. So let's pick up where we left it last time. You had started a clinic in Post and became very busy with the word of mouth started spreading. You see a lot of really neat results and really helping people. And how did you get from there to Lubbock and then dive into the 4 pillars? Because if you tune in, you would have heard him say like the Lord telling Dr. Ben to flip the script on the 4 health pillars, on which ones are more important, what priority to really think about them. So jump into that, and I'll be quiet, and let's get going on to the 4 pillars, Dr. Ben.
Hey, Josh, thanks for having me back. Appreciate you.
You bet. Give
me an audience if I don't get to go preach and teach, and then I'm not getting to be who God made me to be. So
yeah,
thank
this
you.
Is great. You bet. Our pleasure.
So where we left last time, I rented that office down in Post from the Farm Bureau agent and just need a spot to talk to people. And we outgrew that pretty quick, word of mouth, hired some PAs. So we moved to Lubbock, had a business up here that wanted to steward their employees' health better. They had about 100 employees as a blue collar, like welder, machinist type employees. So he gave me some free office space. So I'll move my office to Lubbock to take care of his guys and continue to see my private patients. It just continued to grow. Hired some more nurse pracs. We outgrew that space. And then we moved to downtown Lubbock to our current location about 4 or 5 years ago. So just this huge demand, mostly I think it speaks to how poor the conventional system is. I mean, we have people trying to get in. I mean, we have a waiting list and all that, mostly because they're fed up with poor results at their current doctor. And I know I'm maybe in that first episode sound pretty negative on conventional medicine. I'm not negative on the people, like the doctors, the nurses, they are trying hard. I know your listeners, they probably have their own family practice doctor, PCP, nurse prac, PA. I mean, those people are there probably for the same reason I was. They love people. They love to help people. I mean, they're trying hard. It's a system issue. And unfortunately, the doctors and nurses aren't even aware. that they were trained in a system that was very narrow. I describe this like tools in a toolkit. They've got two, basically, a prescription pad and a scalpel, a surgeon's scalpel. That's it. And it's symptomatic treatment. So when I say symptomatic or management, we need to talk about that real quick. Managing something is like when my wife's tire on her Suburban had a real tiny hole with a real slow leak. So that air wasn't just gushing out, but slowly it would leak out. So about in 5 days, it'd be flat. Then I could put air in it, air it back up. It'd be good to go for 3, 4, 5 days, and it'd be flat, not aired up again. And I kept doing this over and over and over. And now I'm sort of fixing it, not really fixing it. I'm managing. So that's management. Now, management works for the short term, but there's unintended negative long-term potential consequences to that. I didn't think about how that tire getting a little more flat every day for those 3 or 4 days, that put extra pressure on that tire as far as the life of that tire. It was decreasing the life expectancy of that tire. It was putting more strain on the other three tires, the shocks and struts, the alignment was probably getting off. I don't know all the mechanical terms of that, but there were other negative things happening that I didn't think about. I didn't know about, wasn't thinking about, or it's probably not going to happen. And I sure didn't think about a potential blowout, a rollover, and death. I mean, there's so many unintended potential negative long-term things will happen when you just manage a problem instead of fixing it. Well, I didn't know that with disease. I didn't know like the asthma didn't have to be managed, or diabetes, or what, ulcerative colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, all these things. And doctors don't know that. We're not trained in that. And this goes back to about 1910. Pre-1910, there were homeopathic medical schools, naturopathic medical schools, osteopathic, allopathic, herbalist, chiropractic, acupuncture. There were so many healing modalities in the 1800s and beyond. Some of these even hundreds of years old. Ayurvedic medicine, that's herbs and stuff from India, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture is included in that, but there's a lot more. That's probably thousands of years old. There's all these healing modalities. And come 1910, a lot of them were here in the US. And Carnegie and Rockefeller, John Rockefeller, got together, hired a guy named Abraham Flexner, who's an education specialist. And they tasked Flexner with go survey the whole country and see what all medical education curriculum are out there. Abraham Flexner comes back, writes a report. You can look it up, called the Flexner Report. And in a nutshell, basically, it said, hey, there's lots of different curriculum, kind of chaotic out there. Actually, we need to standardize this, bring some order to the education system. And I would recommend that we standardize to allopathic medicine, which is the chemical pharmaceutical symptomatic approach. I mean, he didn't say that, but that's what it is. So, boom, that was it. 1910, the declaration was made. We need to standardize our education. We're going to put money, we're going to back the allopathic schools. We're going to shut down the homeopathic and chiropractic, naturopathic, all these. We'll even outlaw some of them. We're going to delegitimize all those, call them quacks. If you're not licensed by the AMA and come out with an MD degree, licensed by these schools that we're supporting, we're putting our dollars into. So the whole system turned, and the money behind it turned to support that system. That was about 1912. Well, that's right at the same time the steel press comes in. Before it was stone and wooden presses. Now we got the steel press, and it can press a cotton seed and get oil out. So that's at the late 1800s, early 1900s. So they were using cotton seed oil as an industrial lubricant. But then they figured out they could hydrogenate it, they could bleach it, they could chemically alter that cotton seed oil and make it clean and smell good and look pretty and put a nice label on that bucket. They went to all the housewives back in 1910, 1912, 1915, said, hey, ladies, you don't have to render your own lard anymore. Here's some clean lard in a can called Crisco, which is hydrogenated cotton seed oil. So all of a sudden, margarine and Crisco start being pushed in. We started mentioning in the last episode, sifting the flour. All the stuff that goes rancid, which is the 70 nutrients in the flour that God intended for us to eat, is out. Now we just have the protein and starch. People got so sick in the 1920s from this white flour, protein and starch only, that they had to, the government actually came and said, hey guys, y'all got to put that German brand back in. People are filling up the hospitals, mostly psychiatric wards. And the millers said, no, We can't do that. We'll lose shelf life, and we've got two revenue streams because we're sending the germ and the brand to the feedlot, getting paid for that. And they said, well, at least you've got to go back and enrich this white flour that has no nutrition and people are dying because of it. Enrich it. And they put four of the 70, they put four back in, man-made versions of these four, B vitamins and iron. And then in 1998, they put a fifth, folic acid, because babies were being born with birth defects, and they linked it. So they started, that is enriched white flour, fortified, enriched white flour, fortified with these five synthetic versions, 65, it's not still in there. That's an example. That started happening around 1920. The seed oils came in, and then sugar consumption went through the roof, and that's a whole nother story. But the food changed at the same time the healthcare, the medical school education system changed. So a lot of things early 1900s moved in that were not beneficial for the people. So now we're a few generations down the road, and it turns out inflammation, pretty much everybody agrees on this now, even the conventional doctors, but you can just go do an internet search on this word inflammation and fill in the blank disease. Inflammation and cancer, inflammation and heart attacks, inflammation and Alzheimer's, inflammation and depression, inflammation and autism, inflammation and literally any disease, fill in the blank. And you'll see all this research, all these hits will come that say there's a connection here. Inflammation's leading to these quote unquote diseases. But like I said in the last podcast, they're not diseases, they're consequences. When a cell, brain cell, a cartilage cell in your knee, a muscle cell, a heart muscle cell, any cell of your body, pancreas, liver, whatever, a cell's got to make energy called ATP. And as it makes that energy, just like the carburetor in your car, it's got to make energy to turn your tires. It makes exhaust and it goes out the tailpipe. Well, in your cell, you make exhaust. It's called free radicals. Where inflammation comes is when a cell cannot make enough energy. It's making some, but not quite enough. The miles per gallon, way, way, way down. And the free radical production, way, way, way up. And there's this imbalance, decreased energy, cellular energy production, way too much free radical production. Those free radicals damage the cell, damage the DNA, turn on the cancer gene, turn on the Alzheimer's gene. Genes are books on a bookshelf. You don't have to open that book up and read it. You can have the BRCA gene, keep it turned off. That's called genetic expression. Don't express it. There's many, many, many studies that show you can keep these genes turned off, and how you do it or how you turn them on is directly related to dietary and lifestyle. What's lifestyle? Sitting all day, smoking, stressing, snoring. Snoring means you probably have sleep apnea and you're not getting oxygen. Toxins from the environment. There's lots of things that we do, choices we make that will turn on the Alzheimer's and cancer genes. It's well documented. This is called epigenetics. Epi means above the gene. So our genes don't change this fast. So the Pima Indians are a great example. They're a Native American tribe in Southeast Arizona. Pre-World War II, zero type 2 diabetes ever in the history of the Pima Indians. That's 1940s. Now half their tribe's diabetic. Well, it's the same genetics. Genes don't change that fast. Dean Ornish, UCLA, prostate cancer. He took a biopsy of these various men with prostate cancer. He studied the genetics of that prostate cancer. And there's a certain gene, I'll call it the cancer grow gene, was turned on. The cancer suppressor genes turned off. He puts them through 6 months of diet and stress management, goes back, does another biopsy. The cancer suppressor gene flipped on. Cancer grow gene turned off. I'm not going to go off on that epigenetic thing. That's another talk. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. Your choices, including your thinking, we'll get into that, can turn these genes on and off. So that back to Flexner, all the money went to allopathic schools. These doctors, these nurses are trained allopathic. I was trained allopathic, clueless about any alternative. But let me talk about that alternative thing. And in a lot of ways, and a lot of people think this, I'm going to go to an alternative doctor, a holistic, integrative, functional, whatever. Be careful. As I said in the last episode, all a doctor can do is treat your symptoms. So you're going to your conventional allopathic trained medical school trained doctor. He's going to give you metformin for your diabetes. You don't want to do a prescription. You don't like big pharma, whatever. Okay, go to your integrative green. It's a green version you can get. You can get an herb called berberine. Berberine, it's natural. There's no real side effects. You get the health food store, your insurance ain't going to pay for it, but it will bring blood sugar down just like metformin will. There's evidence-based, published, randomized controlled trials that prove this. And basically, it's head-to-head with metformin's about the same. So you can get a green version of something to bring your sugar down. You can get a green version of stuff to bring your inflammation in your lungs down, asthma. You can get a green version to get your cholesterol down, red yeast rice. You can do all these things. That's still treating a symptom. High blood sugar is the symptom. Insulin resistance is the root cause. You don't want to just treat the smoke. You want to treat the fire. High blood pressure, you can do some natural things, some magnesium, some potassium, some celery root, some nitric oxide producing beetroot powder. All these things will push that pressure down. Well, why do you have to do that? Your great-great-grandparents didn't have to do that. They didn't have to supplement and take all these things. That's still treating a symptom.
Yeah.
So that's what I really learned. Now, the Lord gave me four pillars early, even when I was still in post at the Farm Bureau office. He said, teach them nutrition, hydration, movement, peace. That's your foundation. That's the core. Teach that. But so I did. We've been teaching that the whole time. But as a doctor, my intellect and still learning to hear from the Lord and trust, I was trusting in my own. Wait a minute. This patient's super sick. He's going to need some extra. So I learned all these extra things in the integrative world. There's some cool stuff, and it's tempting as a doctor. Ozone, which is oxygen, O3, people think of the ozone layer. Well, there's medicinal ozone. It's pure oxygen, like hyperbaric oxygen. That's just O2 under pressure. Well, you can get O3. That's ozone. Three oxygen molecules put together. Lightning, when it strikes in the atmosphere, dissociates O2. Some of it comes back together as O3. That's in nature, ozone. So we mimic that in our lab. We have a little ozone generator. It's a little spark plug deal, and we put pure O2 in, and what comes out in our syringe is O3. Well, you can use O3 medicinally. They've been doing it in Germany for 100 years. There's a stack of medical literature to the ceiling on this thing. It's amazing. I've been to the multiple conferences, international conferences on ozone use in medicine. It's awesome. It stimulates your cartilage and your knee to regrow. It decreases inflammation in the body. We do it pain injections, like you do a steroid injection, you can do an ozone injection. So, I mean, there's ozone, there's ultraviolet blood irradiation where we take out a patient's blood, shine UV light on it, put it back into them. It stimulates the mitochondria, the energy factories. It kills germs. It does amazing stuff. There's a stack of literature this high. Hamblin, Hambl, Professor Hamblin at Harvard, photobiomodulation. He's the world's authority on using light in the blood to do amazing stuff. You have photoreceptors in your mitochondria. Light particles connect with a keyhole with a receptor in your cells that do beneficial things. It's amazing. So these guys have learned how to manipulate oxygen, UV light, herbs, different things, even intravenous herbs, essential oils, all this stuff. It's a practice of medicine still, but just with green natural things. Well, still, that is symptom treatment. And it sounds cool, but you don't have to change your thinking. You don't have to change your diet and lifestyle. You can keep stressing out. You can keep sitting all day long. You can keep eating processed food and prop your body up with all these natural things and IVs and whatever.
It's
And
still
that was the,
symptoms, yeah.
it's it. Yeah, it's still symptom treatment. Your great-great-grandparents didn't need to do any of that. Before heart attacks even existed, nobody took red yeast rice to get their cholesterol down, which maybe we'll have time to talk about cholesterol. Heart attacks don't come from high cholesterol. High cholesterol is actually beneficial. You'll live longer with less cancer, less dementia, and better immune system to fight COVID and flu in your 80s and 90s. If you have higher cholesterol, you have better longevity. I'm going to do a whole 1 hour lecture on that next month. So if you're on the wellness member site, you'll see that. But that's a little tangent there. My point is, be careful on going green version. So I think that's what we did too much of. We did the four pillars early, but I was going off on these tangents. And what a patient's going to do naturally, I would do it too. I'm not condemning anybody. When you're hurting, you're suffering, whatever disease process, you want relief. And I get it. And you want to go to a Christian doctor who's doing natural and he's going to give you relief. I get it. And we still do all those things. I'm not anti those things, but I never did now. I never ever write a prescription for an IV, a supplement, UV light, ozone, anything without telling that patient, hey, This is temporary. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to keep doing it over and over. This is a stopgap. This will buy you time. This will reduce your symptoms. This is not it. This is not the answer.
Yeah.
I have compassion on you. So here's a pharmaceutical standard of care. Texas Medical Board says I got to do that, which that's fine. We do. And Texas Medical Board Rule 200 says I can also offer complementary and alternative. So we do that. Here's your choice. Option one, treat your symptom with a pharmaceutical. Option two, treat your symptom with a nutraceutical, a natural thing. But neither one of those is the answer. To be made whole, be well, set free, go be who God made you to be, and never come back to my office. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Those two things aren't going to get you there. So don't feel shame or condemnation for taking meds or nutraceuticals.
Yeah, thank
Just
you.
Understand that's not it. Don't put that up as your savior. Don't put that up as your focus and energy and your money and all this stuff is going so much to all that without the understanding of, hey, there's a deeper thing and you don't need all that long term and you might not even need it short term. But we are so deceived, the spirit of intellectualism and scientism and all this stuff where we just can't believe that all these diseases and crazy symptoms can really go away with some basic four pillar.
Okay. Well, this is perfect. Oh man, we're ready. Let's get into it.
All right. So no, nutrition, hydration, movement, peace. Go ahead.
Yeah. Jeff. Nutrition, hydration, movement, peace. The order you like to talk about them though, first is peace, right? Piece number one. Okay.
Yep. So everyone naturally, especially when they come to a natural doctor, they're thinking diet, diet, diet.
Yeah.
Put me
that's
on
what I was
paleo.
Thinking when that's what I was thinking when I was when I started first, like, you know, listen to yourself. I was like, oh no, I'm not gonna be able to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, just I'm not gonna be able to do this. You can talk about diet and then you start talking about peace and movement and hydration. I was like, wait, what?
Hey y'all, I just want to make an observation. When I see someone going through a legal situation, it seems like there are way too many unknowns. Well, the Allen Firm provides legal guidance so that you can make a great decision, come to a resolution, and be at peace. For more information about the Allen Firm, visit allenlawfirm.com.
Yep. I mean, naturally, people want to go to diet because we've been trained to do that. And you can get a lot done with dietary stuff using food as medicine, basically, like Dr. Wink down in Post. I think basically I told him for a short time period, 2 to 4 weeks, maybe a little longer, you got to go like no carb, meat and veggies only. Your carburetor, your mitochondria, has forgotten or it's unable to utilize glucose as fuel to make energy. Something has damaged and gunked up your carburetor so bad, those carbs, they can't even get through the fuel line. They're backing up into your blood, and now your blood sugar is 400 because your carburetor's jacked. So the initial kind of emergency is, let's just quit eating carb. So we're relieving the pressure on that carburetor because it can't burn carb right now. But we really want to tune up the carburetor so it can burn carb. But that's going to take a little knowledge and time and stewardship. So temporarily, let's relieve the pressure. Go keto, which is low carb, because you can't, a carb is a toxin to you right now. But that's not the answer. So we do use dietary things, especially initially if you've abused carb and been on a standard American carb, which is processed. I mentioned the sifted wheat. So anyways, but we were camped out on that hardcore and inadvertently kind of putting that up as savior. And we got burned. Here's what happened. Using only our intellect, using the science, using the evidence-based published data, low carb with intermittent fasting, just don't eat 18 hours, 24 hours, 48, whatever. We were utilizing that, seeing amazing results. And then the patients and us both, we camped out on that thing too long. Women in particular, 2 to 3 years down the road, they're coming back. Their weight is up. They're cold. They have zero libido. Their brain fog. They have basically their metabolism just turned down to nothing. But doc, I'm still keto. I'm still intermittent fasting and I'm working out like a hoss. I mean, they camped out on that thing and pretty much we told them to. We had no direction from the Holy Spirit. Hey, fasting's not bad and low carbs not bad at the right time as led by the Holy Spirit for a season, for a moment, for this person, but not for that one. And okay, now, and we've got to be led by the Spirit in these things. If I'm going to be led by scientific, evidence-based journal articles only, I mean, a wise man seeks much wise counsel. Fine, go get counsel from the world, get counsel from Google, your doctor, health coaches, whatever, even us. But ultimately, the counselor that will lead you into all truth needs to be involved here somewhere. Oh, well, wait, doc, that can't be. I mean, I'm real sick. I've got X, Y, or Z. No, there's no. That's what we got.
Wow.
We were wrong. We were totally off on this thing. And so that's what in June of 22, I'm sitting on my floor of my closet. June of 22 is the 10-year anniversary. It was June of 12 when I got fired. I'm sitting in there, June of 22, and I see this box underneath my clothes, my hangers on the lower rack. So they're kind of to the floor. I can't see under them. And I'm like, oh, there's a cardboard box under my clothes. I pull it out. And it was from when we moved to that house years before. And I open the box up, and it's just a bunch of little knickknacks and junk kind of. But then there's two letters in there, both dated June of 2012. And this is June of 22. I mean, I'm pretty dense and slow, like the radical awesome. David Platt thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, this isn't a coincidence. These two letters, June of 2012, and it's 22. And I've already been stirring in me about, man, we're off still. Something's off here. Anyways, the letters, one was my firing letter from 12, June of 12. Then kind of a miraculous provision came in that moment in June of 12. It's a long story we won't go into, but a check came in the mail, two checks the same day when I just told my wife the day before this, right after I got fired, and I was telling her, money doesn't just grow on trees, Jamie. You want me to walk in? We're trying to buy a house out of post. You want me to walk into closing, write a check for $13,500, and money doesn't just show up out of nowhere. The next day, these two checks.
Oh, man, the ultimate. And like, yeah, I told
she calls
you.
Me. She's like,
yeah, hey, yeah, I told you.
You need, you need to sit down. I'm like, what? She's like, I just went to the mailbox. There's a letter in there with a check for $8,500 and another check, a second envelope, another letter with a check for $4,500. And what it was income tax I had paid during residency 7 years before. Congress passed the law, retroactivated it to the year 2000, medical residence, so I had to pay income tax. They reimbursed me for that. But that was years later, the day after I said, anyways.
You can't make that stuff up. I mean, you
June
just can't.
Of 12, I get fired. June of 12, this provision comes in out of nowhere. That's never happened since or before, but this money just showed up that day. Anyways, this is 10 years later. These two letters, I'm looking at them. I'm like, I didn't even know I saved these letters. And I'm like, Lord, what's this? What are you trying to tell me?
What do you want me to know about this? Yeah. What do you mean? Yeah.
And he said, the first 10 years of Veritas, which Veritas is Latin for truth. I don't think we mentioned that last podcast.
Okay.
But anyways, he said, the first 10 years is your way. And now it's my way.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, man, that sounds awesome. But I thought I was doing it your way. So what's your way? And so I started asking, what's a doctor in the kingdom look like? And for some reason, I thought of a doctor in Jesus's day. It was the first thought that came to mind. I thought, man, they're more holistic or knew more, or used herbs a certain way. And so after that thought, the next thought was, go read about the woman with the issue of blood. And I went and read that story again. And she said she had spent all her money on all these different doctors in Jesus's day.
Oh,
and
wow.
So then I thought, okay, well, that's not it. It's not a doctor in Jesus's day. And so that was June of 22. And there's a lot to unpack since then. But basically, in a nutshell, it came to this thing of all these diseases are consequences. But they're consequences of really two things: deception and accusation. We have been deceived that we're victims of our genes. We're victims of the germ. We just have lack of knowledge and deception through love of money that sifted wheat is identical to the God version of wheat. No, it's not. We need the real stuff. We got to fresh mill this, and it's not that hard. That's another story, probably. Like I made bread, waffles, biscuits, make them all the time. Make gravy, no problem. But I'm using I have a 5 gallon bucket of wheat berries, and I throw that, I get a cup of that, throw it in a grinder that sits on my counter, electric grinder. In 20 seconds, I've got a cup of flour. I get 2 eggs from the hen house. I get olive oil or real butter, and I'm getting milk that we get from a dairy here in town straight out of the cow. That waffle is a totally different food. That's actual food. God intended food. We call it God food versus sifted flour, canola oil, margarine, and an egg coming from a hen sitting in a hen house with a million other hens that never saw sunlight and got fed grain all day long. That's a man food. Completely different nutrition profile. They're both waffles, but it's this lack of knowledge on this thing and deception that it's okay to high fructose corn syrup. That's just another form of sugar. No, it's not. Even in the white sugar. Now, there's a way to eat sugar, God version of that. Honey is probably your best option because it's actually got nutrition in it. It's got medicinal nutritional properties. Organic maple syrup from a quality source is probably your second. But even cane sugar that's not processed. There's a sugar called panela sugar out of South America. It's probably the most unprocessed. But just lack of knowledge. We've been deceived. We don't know these things. So that's really what the wellness program is about, is to teach you the truth on food. I mean, plant-based versus animals. That's a whole discussion there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Originally in the garden, all the plants were for us to eat and that would sustain us, but that was a whole different environment.
Yeah.
The animals weren't chasing you.
Yeah.
Nobody was chasing you. You're walking in truth. You're at total peace all the time. The soil was so well stewarded that the nutrition in that apple was actually out of this world, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But now, coming off the ark, Jesus or God tells Noah, hey, I gave you those plants, but now I'm giving you the beast to eat too. And I
Yeah.
took it almost as a command. You're going to have to eat these animals because y'all are going to so mis-steward this dirt, this soil. You're going to turn soil into dirt.
Yeah.
The microbes in the soil are going to be gone. So now, this is a study in 1997, UT Austin. One apple in 1958, you got to eat 27 apples in 1998 to get the
That's
same nutritional value because it's not in the soil anymore. The microbes in the soil is what releases the nutrients, the minerals off the rock, the pebbles, the sand, and all that to get them to a water-soluble form the plant root can take up and put it into the carrot, the spinach, the cabbage, the apple. So anyways, there's a whole lecture on plant-based versus animal. We need the animal. Now we need them. God's version is, and a cow is meant to eat grass outside in the sunshine, and a pig and a chicken and all the things. And if you get a wild caught, wild harvested, grass finished, grass fed, all that stuff, pasture raised, and you look at the nutrient profile of that animal that you're consuming versus one from a confined cage sitting in a feedlot eating a bunch of soy and corn, and the grass is cow's meant to eat grass. That's a whole nother discussion too. I'm just saying, deception. Our cells will be damaged if you sit under artificial light all day and never see sunshine. If you sit all day, gravity needs to, actually, that's another story too, but you've got to get up. Your body's not meant to be at a 90 in a chair all day. There's plenty of literature on that. So there is just physical in the natural with your body stewardship things that you need to learn and implement, but don't make them your idol. Don't make them your savior, your God.
Well,
And that
search
was the
in,
thing.
search in some light on that then. I mean, man, God, there's so much. And I will take a minute to say, hey, you have a lot of guests on and a lot of information out there about this. So if you're like me, who's like wants to take some of that and be like, let's go. I want to learn. Then go check out You're the Cure, because you have talked a lot about it. But hit the big four. There's some people who are gonna be really angry with me if I don't start talking about some of those. Unstuck coaches hates it when movement and progress in a person's life or business is stuck or frozen or slowed or just stopped altogether. Well, we have found a solution. Unstuckcoaches.com. They offer a variety of coaching services to get you or your business moving again. Check out unstuckcoaches.com.
Are you the big three on food or big four pillars?
No, the four pillars.
Yeah, okay,
Like
let's go there.
let's
So
go
you
because
need to
I know
move, you need to hydrate with something besides sugar. People are eating sugar or drinking sugar and caffeine all day. So learn that, implement that. Don't make it your savior. You don't have to be perfect in that. Do the best you can. And there's a way to do it. There's a way to not be a standard American eater and sitter and hydrator. Your standard American is killer. Accusation. So let me just say, you can try to, you can eat pretty much perfect God food. You can move every hour. You can be really good on movement, hydrate perfect, water, mineral water, put salt in your water, just real water that's energized and salted. You can do all that perfect. And we've seen patients do perfect in that. And what you do is you're going to hit a ceiling. You could reverse all your diseases, just like these diabetics I mentioned probably in the first episode with my dad and the veterinarian, Dr. Wink and Post. In 90 days, they go from a full-blown 400 blood sugar to 100 just with nutrition pillar pretty much and movement. You can get it done. I'm not saying you can't. So it's not an either or. But what I am saying is we've had plenty of patients over these 12 years we've noticed, man, they're kind of knocking it out of the park on the three, but they came back. Their disease came back. Their symptoms came back, or another symptom came. Or they implemented all these things and they got some better, but they never completely reversed everything and got all the way well. So we started pressing into this. These, we call them non-responders. What, you did the protocol, you did what we said, but you're still sick? Or you got better, but now you're back. It's been a couple of years and you came back. Stress. It's always stress. Chronic stress. Drives fight or flight hormones called cortisol and adrenaline. That shuts down your thyroid, shuts down your metabolism, shreds your neurons, shreds your muscle. You cannot have chronic cortisol effect, fight or flight effect. What people do, the little counterfeit here, is they try to do stress management. Let me go fix all my circumstances in my life, and then my stress will come down. Or let me implement some breathing techniques, some go on a walk, some sing kumbaya, do some go pray. And I'm not saying don't do stress management and don't try to bring order to your life where there's maybe chaos and there can be some order that would bring your circumstances a little bit. That's fine. But you cannot, obviously, I think we all understand, there's no way to predict your circumstances and keep them all lined out just perfect. There's no way. So what became clear was it's more about the filters people are looking at those circumstances through. And are they looking at it through the filter of their own intellectual mind and emotions, influenced by the kingdom of darkness and the liar and the accuser who wants to keep you bound up, striving, working, scheming, how do I get out of this thing? That's where he's going to keep you, and you'll just spin your wheels. But if you can change those filters, clean those filters off and see those relationships, see those circumstances, see those business transactions, see those opportunities, see these different things, your kids and what they're going through or whatever, the world, politics, all of it, see it through a different lens. The problem is that information doesn't change the lens. Information changes our thinking. Our beliefs, which that's the lens, that's the filter, and that's only changed by Holy Spirit revelation.
Yeah.
The personal aha moment, I think I talked about in the first episode. And you can't just step one, two, three, Bible study, presto, I have an aha moment. Now, I mean, you search the scriptures, you can study and pray and do the things and you should, but these are personal journeys people are on. And what the reason Jamie Winship, I know you've had him on before and I've had him on recently, and it's just blown up out here in our practice, is because it was so key. Number one, when you can hear the one, hear from the one that made this pancreas and kidney and liver and eyeball and brain and the things you're symptomatic with, these diseases, the one who designed it and made it, if you could hear from him, and then also if you can see who he is clearly, his nature and his character, get that down pat and solid, the truth of who God is, and then you can hear clearly who he says you are. Because you're a uniquely made individual in the body, in the corporate body. In Romans, it talks about it. Each part of the body is unique. The hand, the foot, the nose, they're all different, unique, and all needed and important. So you're unique to me, and I'm unique, and my wife, and I'm no more important than you or my wife or anybody else. We need the whole body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Everything is getting put under his headship, it says in Ephesians. And actually, under his headship, it's the body of Christ that's going to put on display the manifold wisdom of God to the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. That's us putting that on display. Well, how do we do that if we don't see God clearly and we don't know our part in the body? True identity is how Jamie Winship talks about this, true identity versus a false identity. So the way the enemy keeps us from corporately displaying the manifold wisdom of God is put a question mark on who God is, just like he did with Eve. He's holding out on you. He knows if you'd eat this fruit, then you'd be like him. You know, God's not going to show up. He's mad at you. He exists. He's that, whatever. You got to work. You got to strive. You got to perform for him. All these question marks Satan can introduce to us, and we buy the lie. That's a filter. And then we question our own self. We get our value from what the world says. So when I grew up, I obeyed all the rules. I never got detention. I kept everybody happy, kept my teachers happy, my Sunday school teachers happy, my coaches happy, my friends happy. And I noticed when I keep everybody happy, they like me. That fills up that little hole in my heart that of rejection that came on me in kindergarten when my kindergarten teacher, I put these little play handcuffs on and you know, it's time to circle up and say the pledge, and I couldn't do it because my hands were cuffed behind my back. And she got them unhooked and told me, "Don't do that again." And I did it again the next day. And there's just, I mean, it's a little thing like that. But you can feel rejection that creates an emotion in your soul, a longing for acceptance and love. So I follow all the rules, and that emotion gets filled up a little bit in me. I'm accepted and loved when I follow all the rules. So I'm going to be a man pleaser. If I people please everybody, then that feels that, well, that's a filter, people pleasing filter. So I start making decisions based off, I got to keep everybody happy. Well, then I notice when I perform, I make all A's. I get first place in the Arts, Crafts, and Science Fair, first place in the soccer tournament, MVP, first chair in band. Every time I got first place, I got praised. I got my name in the paper. I got highlighted here and there. I got high-fived. I got pat on the back. Attaboy, good job. Do it. Keep it up. And that little emotion of I need to be accepted and loved kind of got filled up when I got first place, first chair, all the things. So that's performance, spirit of performance from the kingdom of darkness. The accuser told me I got to perform to be loved and accepted. So there's a filter, performance, man pleasing, rejection. These are filters I'm talking, lenses, filters on my heart. On these are core beliefs about myself. These things stick with you. And you learn how to operate in this thing and even use and manipulate that thing. I got voted the nicest guy in my high school class based off mostly man-pleasing spirit.
Oh, I mean,
Didn't
you want
even
to win.
know.
Identities come from accomplishments. The praises of man or the curses of man. Just as much the praises of man.
That's it. So how does this manifest in somebody's life physically to create a disease? Well, in my own life, fast forward through high school, college, med school, residency, show up in Garza County, and they're like, "Hey, this clinic hadn't made money in 10 years. Can you get us out of debt?" Heck yeah, I can. Man pleasing and performance. Well, can you do some extra things for us? Because it's just clinic 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. There's no after hours, like nighttime. There's no call. There's no weekend. The hospital's closed down. The ER's closed. So it's easy gig. Can you do extra stuff? I'm like, sure. What do you got? Well, the Garza County Juvenile Detention Center. Could you come early on Tuesday mornings before clinic starts and see those kids at juvie? Yeah, I love kids. I can preach Jesus to them even. Okay. On Wednesdays, can you do the county jail, the adult inmates? On Thursdays, could you come early before clinic, do the nursing home? Little old ladies in the nursing home, who's going to take care of them? You're the only doctor in the whole county.
Widows and orphans, man, you
There you
got to do
go. Sign me
that.
up. Sign me up. That's good Christian stuff. On Fridays, can you do the Friday night football game? On Saturdays and Sundays, could you make house calls on the shut-ins? So I'm saying yes to every single thing. Man, I'm not going to say no. That'll make someone mad at me. I can't say no. So I'm just not even thinking. I just say yes to every single thing, and it's all good stuff. So I wasn't sinning, so to speak, as far as like committing fraud, adultery, lying, stealing, cheating, whatever, the Ten Commandments. But in my heart, I'm making a decision led by a spirit that's not from the kingdom of God. Didn't even know it at the time because I didn't know what the kingdom was at the time. Didn't know about body, soul, spirit. Didn't know about identity. Didn't know how this thing operates and how the enemy operates. Now I do. And looking back, I can see how he had me bound up doing good stuff in Garza County by saying yes to everything by that spirit of man pleasing and performance. So now, what's that resulting at home? Things aren't really going too good because I'm working my tail off all day. I get home, mama's not feeling the love. Okay, I hear you, babe. You're not feeling love. Well, in my mind, with the filter, love is performance. So I start performing at home, taking out the trash, washing the dishes, changing the dirty diapers, bathing the kids, putting them down, reading them a bedtime story, all the things that are great and I should be doing, but I was doing extra and extra and more and more and more. Well, that she appreciated that extra, but relationally not really connected. Now I'm totally burnt out.
Oh,
I'm working my
yeah.
tail off all day at work. I'm working my tail off all day at home. You're still not happy. Why are you in a bad mood? Why aren't you loving me? And then I start scheming in my own strength. Okay, I'll fix this thing. I'm going to hire a PA and they'll help me out. I won't work as much. I'll be home more. Well, that's fine, except it didn't deal with the filters. So it just comes out in a different way. Now, this whole time, I'm driving fight or flight in my physical body. Cortisol and adrenaline are going off.
Yeah.
You cannot live in a state of chronic cortisol and adrenaline and not have physical consequences to that carburetor that I said, like Dr. Wing's carburetor could not bring in that glucose or that carb to burn it anymore. So we removed the carb, the toxin. So now he's not diabetic because his sugar levels dropped. Well, it's just because we took the carb out. If we don't fix that carburetor, it's coming back on him. And I'm telling you, it's the
Yeah.
same for everything. Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, it's all the same. Cancer, that carburetor in a cancer cell, it flips a switch because of self-preservation. This cancer cell,
Oh,
for a cell to make energy, you bring in the sugar and you bring in oxygen. Those are the two things, the mitochondria, and then spark plug, that's minerals. Boom, combustion, you make energy. Well, in a cancer cell, it can no longer bring oxygen in. It's like the airline going into your carburetor got pinched down, or the air filter's totally clogged. The oxygen's not coming into that cell. So out of self-preservation, the cell flips a switch and it starts making energy with what's called anaerobic metabolism. And that's making energy without oxygen. Wait, it just burns sugar. For fuel for a cancer cell, it burns sugar only with no oxygen. And it's got to burn a lot of sugar to stay alive. Anaerobic metabolism, cancer cell metabolism, is a self-preservation switch that flips on when that carburetor is so damaged, the mitochondria is so damaged, it can no longer make energy with oxygen. It does that to survive. The
Wow.
correlation here spiritually, we go into self-preservation mode when these filters are in place from the enemy. And it creates these consequences in our life. We make decisions based off these filters. So every relationship, because I mean, every piece of data coming into my five senses, my carnal mind, scripture says, coming through my eyeballs, my ears, what I can touch, taste, and everything's interpreted through these filters from the enemy. I'm making decisions in my intellect out of this, or my emotions and my soul. I've got to renew my mind to the truth. I have the mind of Christ in my spirit. I've got every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in my spirit. I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places, and he's in me in my spirit. I got the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead living in me. I've got access to the truth again. That's what Jesus came to restore, that which was lost, relationship with the truth. Adam and Eve, you're out. You're no longer related, walking with your father in the cool of the day in the garden every single day. You're out on your own. Go see how that works out for you over in your soul, making decisions based off intellect and emotion. Emotion influenced by the liar and the accuser. And so this deception that we can eat man food and sit all day and hydrate with sugar and caffeine, that's deception. You can learn all that. You can learn the truth and steward your physical body. But if you don't get the accusation part, it's
Yeah,
going to
you're.
be fight or flight. And you can eat perfect, exercise perfect, hydrate perfect, and still be sick and still die young because of accusation that's causing you to see the world a certain way, make decisions a certain way that keep that carburetor in self-preservation mode.
Yeah, that blew my mind when I heard you say that and started listening to the four pillars. And he's talking about peace, for all of them. And it's just that amazes me. And even the Lord has been impressing on me even the last couple of weeks of like, hey, can you look at your circumstances through a non-scarcity lens?
Yeah.
Because the scarcity keeps us protecting ourselves.
Yeah.
Not enough. I don't have enough money. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't, you know. And
Yeah.
I think all that is impacting and it affects everything else.
Yeah.
And it's all spiritual. I mean, it's your lens, your warfare, it causes stress. I mean,
Yeah.
it's what your belief is. That's
Yeah.
amazing to me.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus came and defeated that enemy who got that authority from Adam. God gave it to Adam, take dominion and rule. Satan, through deception, stole that authority, told Jesus, if you bow down to me, I'll give you the authority over the kingdoms of the earth. That authority was given to me. I'll give it to who I please. Jesus answered with truth the whole time. Although he was tempted in every way, his soul was sorrowful unto death. He had a soul with these temptations, but he only said what he heard his father say and only did what he saw his father doing. He's 100% spirit led the whole time, answered with truth, truth, truth on those three temptations, which are the scarcity, the orphan mindset, provision, protection, identity. That's those three lies: bread, stone to bread, jump from the temple, provision, protection. If you're the son of God, identity. But Jesus answered with truth always. And we don't understand that he came not only to show us how to do this, be in the natural, be in the flesh with the soul, with free will soul, tempted in every way, but you can walk in truth. I've restored the opportunity for you to do this, and you are going to do it, and you're going to do it as a corporate body so well that the manifold wisdom of God's going to be put on display to the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. And that's where we're headed. That's the kingdom. It's at hand. We've got to renew the mind to the truth, and the scarcity thing's a big one. Fear, 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 shame, anxiety, all these things. It's the enemy. We've got to get at the spiritual viewpoint, but that takes relationship, not religion. You got to have a relationship with the one who created you. You got to see clearly who he calls you. The unique thing before you're in your mama's womb, he knew you, set you apart, and put a call on your life. You got to know the unique of that, and God will tell you that the one who designed you and put you here for a purpose and a reason will speak to you, tell you that, and then you walk in it. And the enemy, there's no way, because all the power and authority now Jesus has it seated at the right hand of the Father. He took all that power and authority from Satan. Now Satan's operating still in the earth illegally through our frontal lobe, through our thinking. That's the only way he has any access to get anything done on the earth, is to convince you you're someone else than what your father calls you. And then you will make decisions out of that thing.
Yeah, and for me in my life, just discovering the lies I believe has changed my life, and being able to take those captive and reject them and ask the Lord, what do you say? Oh, it's
Exactly.
amazing. So really, really, your encouragement to people would be, I mean, look at the peace, look at the peace pillar, look at hearing from the non-alternate engineer. I hear from the one who made you. Let's see what lies you're believing. Let's look at your filter that's causing so much stress, because the stress is destroying your body.
And so we encourage people to do that first. And that's where we were off. We kind of throw that in at the end, knowing,
Oh,
hey,
so
let me
that's the
be a,
flip the script. That's the flip it. Okay. Wow.
it really takes the doctor out of it even more. I can jump in there and food is medicine and manipulate things with the mitochondria. We can advise these things to get that mitochondria tuned up and get your symptoms, like high blood sugar is a symptom. We can get that down. But it's always the but. Is it going to stay good? And I don't think it will. I don't think you can be totally made whole and well and stay out of the doctor's office without knowing who God is clearly, knowing who he says you are clearly, and cleaning those false identities, those filters up, so you can start seeing the world from a heavenly viewpoint, not a carnal mind, and make decisions based off that. Then your body will function as God's original design and intent was. And even I think that we're so resilient in the physical body, you can even drink a little high fructose corn syrup, sit a little too much, and not be perfect. And I'm
Well,
not saying that as like the motivation to not, I mean, the standard American diet's awful. It's not even food. But I'm just saying, if you flip this thing, go after that first. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. You'll know what to eat and not eat, when to fast, not fast. Do you need to supplement because your diet's deficient? I supplement where my diet is deficient. But I'm going to try to tune the diet up so it's less deficient. Now, that is tough to do. You can find local farmers and stuff and get high quality nutrient dense food. Takes a little time. But the flip is, you don't make that your focus and your idol. And if you have peace pillar first, clean up the filters, walk in this truth, Holy Spirit will lead you, then the other becomes easy. It's not a burden to change your diet. It's not a burden to get up and move and get outside and get some sun. It's easy. You'll want to do it. You'll crave doing it. It will flow. It won't be a burden. It won't break the bank. It won't all these things. So that's the motivation of the heart, has got to be seek the healer, not the healing. The healing will come. I believe it. Even divine healing, Jesus paid for it. But we can't be seeking all these things. Seek Him, seek the kingdom first. See clearly who God is and who He says you are. That's why I just love Jamie Winship's stuff.
Oh yeah.
So
Man.
start there, start there, start there would be my encouragement. If you,
Okay.
if that's going to take some time or you're not sure about that or you got to explore that and you want to start on nutrition, no problem.
Yeah. No,
Listen
but
to
I
the truth.
agree 100%. And everybody can go to You're the Cure and look up the peace pillar, the movement pillar, hydration pillar, and nutrition pillar. Tell me, Dr. Ben, as we wrap it up, do you have a few favorite guests or episodes of your show that you could tell people this would be a great place just to start?
Yeah.
There's so much great information. I loved it. And by the way, I've got a Caroline Leaf is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Literally with her book and stuff. I can't wait to, I'm just having to go slow. I'm like rewind it, rewind it, rewind it. Like, but
Yeah.
that's the God factor and all that's unbelievable to me. But who are
Yeah.
some of your favorites? And let's land the plane. And when you're done, I may ask you to pray for us and let's end today. So,
You bet. So, I mean, I'm intellectual. I'm a doctor. I've
yeah.
researched intellect, knowledge, and most people in the Western world are pretty intellectual. So, if that's you, I would say the Caroline Leaf interview, Bruce Lipton interview, they talk about how thoughts impact the cells. Caroline's doing it more from the biblical standpoint, Bruce Lipton's more academic standpoint, but it'll solidify in people's minds that, man, my thinking does impact. Because
I mean,
that
it's causing
will.
brain matter to grow. Like, I'm like,
Yeah,
what?
it's amazing.
Wow.
So I like those two. You know, if cardiac stuff is a fear, because it is the number one killer, heart attacks and all this stuff, Malcolm Kendrick is a great one. His book, The Clot Thickens, I interviewed him about that. Dr. Tom Cowan, Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, that's a great one, I think. If you're into ag, you like agricultural stuff, Joel Salatin, even if you're not into ag, that was just a fun interview about how to steward the earth and how much food production we can get per acre if we steward it God's way. Dirt to Soil, Gabe Brown, that's a great interview on the ag side. Hot topic is vaccines. I've done a ton on
Oh,
there.
yeah, I bet. I know. I think that's
That's
why
all
you came
another,
around our area. Like, yeah.
got a whole nother deal there. But the National Vaccine Information Center, that's Barbara Lowe Fisher. She's a good one. J.B. Handley, Handley is a good one. I mean, I think there's a bunch of good ones. We're about
Oh,
to
yeah.
reorganize on our website. We'll have a reorganized podcast page with subjects and most popular. And I'll pick my
Okay.
top 20 or something, put on there. So
Perfect.
veritaswellnessmember.com, you check that out. And then was there another question, Josh, on
No, I said,
you
man, I
guys'
think we've
podcast?
talked you out. So, hey, thanks, Dr. Ben Edwards. Check out Veritas Medical. Check out You're the Cure podcast. And then he's got a new website, and you can become a member and consume a lot of great information and get guided by a wellness navigator. And but first, and he would encourage you work on peace. You know, yeah. So that's awesome. Well, if you'd pray us out, that would be awesome. Thanks, Dr. Ben.
Thank you, Josh. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the time in our schedule today to connect with a new friend, Josh, and his audience. Just bless him, bless the work he's doing. Thank you for all the lives that he's reaching and touching. Father, we just pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know we're the vessels you've chosen to partner with to come bring that supernatural into the natural, take dominion and rule. So help us to do that in our own life, over our own soul, over our own the filters and thoughts, Father. Just encourage all these listeners that they will seek the kingdom first. And if they don't know what that means, just confess it and start talking to you about it every day. We just thank you for your faithfulness and how you meet us. You long and yearn to reveal yourself to us. So thank you for sending Jesus to fully reveal who you are, this invisible God, fully revealed by Jesus. We just thank you for that gift, that precious gift that gives us access back to you, the truth and love. So help us to know you better, love you with all our heart and all our mind and soul and love our neighbors ourselves, Jesus, as Jesus told us to do. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to live in 2024 and be a light in the world. Help us to continue to die to ourselves so you can shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Ben.
Thank you for joining us on this latest edition to the Storyfield podcast. We hope that you have been challenged, inspired, and ready to take that next step, whatever that is. If you know someone with an amazing story that needs to be heard, send us an email at info@thestoryfield.com. Have a fantastic day, and we can't wait for you to join us on the next episode of The Storyfield.